Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're here live to answer your question or discuss your real-life issue, and we invite your call right now to 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and this is your invitation to listen and take part. If there's something you'd like to talk about, let's talk about it right now. 1-800-677-9377. Basic Gospel. It intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, and live it. Well, Bob and Richard, as we get the program underway today, there's something I want to share. There's a couple who lives in New Jersey, Angelo and Yvonne Gallego, and they have attended our conferences and been just dear friends for more than 20 years. And today I spoke with their family at the sad news of the passing of Juanita, who is Tony and Johnny and Angelo's mom. We remember years ago Juanita attending one of our conferences, and in the freedom that she had found in Jesus, she was kind of just doing this little butterfly dance. Well, God brought his little butterfly home. So to Angelo and the family, we love you and share in your sadness at this time, but we, of course, rejoice knowing that Juanita's suffering on this earth is over. She's now free to do that butterfly dance in the presence of our Lord.
Yes, indeed. That is the hope of the gospel. That's why, you know, death still hurts. We're going to miss those that have gone on. But as believers in Christ, we have an anchor. We have something solid to stand upon. And I know when my dad passed away, it was this truth of knowing that he was absent from the body and present with the Lord that gave me hope, that put some joy in my heart in such a sad occasion. And I hope that's the same with Angelo and Yvonne, and knowing them as we do and knowing their strong faith in Jesus Christ. They are rejoicing, knowing where she is, that she is with the Lord in his very presence.
Absolutely.
That's hope, and that's why the good news of the gospel is this, that Jesus Christ is alive. The fact that he is alive infuses hope into those very situations. Just as he lives, we live. I love what he said to Mary and Martha in light of Lazarus's death. You know, they were so distraught. You know, they had sent word to Jesus and said, come, he's sick. And, you know, we've seen you perform miracles. We've seen you heal the sick. We've seen you do all of these wonderful things. Please come so that you can make him better. But Jesus didn't come immediately. He lingered, and it was some days later. And once he arrived on the scene, Lazarus had already died and had been in the tomb for 4 days. His body had started to decompose. And boy, Mary and Martha were ticked. And everybody there were ticked as well.
Yeah.
You know, why didn't you come? If you had just been here, Lord, you would have been able to heal him. But now it's too late. And then he gives those amazing words in John 11:25 and 26. I think these are such powerful words. And if you've never underlined this verse in your Bible, if you've never memorized it, I encourage you to do so. It's John 11:25. Jesus said to her, to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Our whole faith hinges on the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the fact that he claimed to be the resurrection and the life. And this truth infuses hope into our day-to-day lives today, and especially in the loss of a loved one.
Yes, indeed. Absolutely. Well, if you have something you'd like to discuss, we'd like to discuss it with you. We have plenty of open lines at 1-800-677-9377, a toll-free call wherever you hear the broadcast, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Cheyenne, Wyoming, and talk with Arthur. Hi, Arthur.
Hi, Arthur.
Hi. I've got a question about, I believe, the 33rd chapter of Exodus. You know, where it says that Moses spake unto the Lord face to face, as one man speaks to his friend, and his servant, a young man, Joshua, departed not out of the tabernacle. You know the one I'm talking about, don't you?
Right, right.
Okay. And you flip over to Joshua, the 5th chapter, and am I safe to assume and teach that Joshua's meeting the Lord face to face for the first time, Because remember, Joshua was a military man, and he's doing what he ought not have been doing. He, you know, checking out Jericho by himself. But anyway, he sees a man with a sword drawn, and he doesn't know who he is. And he calls out to him and says, "Are you for ourselves or are you for our adversaries?" And the man says, "Nay, but as the captain of the Lord's host have I come." Joshua goes right over to him, bows down to him with a man with a sword in his hand, and this is what saith my Lord to his servant. And the Lord said, "Take off your shoes, for you're standing on holy ground." Now, I'd have to assume that he didn't know his face, but he knew his voice. So from the first reference I made in Exodus 33, we assume at least maybe at that time he heard the Lord's voice, but he didn't see his face like Moses did. You know, there was more than one room in the tabernacle. You didn't have to be in the same room that, Moses came to him at the tent door. Yeah. The Lord came down at the tent door, and everybody witnessed and got up and worshiped in their tent door.
Well, Arthur, it's a good question. And as far as, you know, somebody meeting God face-to-face, you know, no one has ever seen God. I mean, God is spirit. And so the meetings that Moses had with the Lord, even though it talks about seeing him face to face and those sort of things, we realize that God was just showing Moses as much of him as he really could to preserve Moses' life. I think if anyone encountered him face to face, they would have died instantly.
All you're saying is true, that you know, that the Lord was a spirit at that time. He hadn't received a body yet. You know, that would come, what, a couple thousand years later.
Yes.
But he did have a form that Moses recognized and speak to face-to-face, and he had a form that Joshua could relate to and speak to, you know, face-to-face. You know, he didn't recognize him as the Lord at first. He just recognized him as a man with a sword in his hand.
Well, I agree with what you're saying, Arthur. God made his presence known to Moses. He made his presence known to Joshua in such a way that they knew it was truly the Lord. And when they knew it was truly the Lord, they recognized his awesomeness and they revered him in worship.
Later on in the 33rd chapter, when it, you know, he says, "Lord, show me thy glory." And he says, "Well, you know, I can't show you all of it.
That's
all
right.
Of my glory. I'm gonna put you in a cleft in the rock, and I'll pass by you and put my hand in front of your eyes, so you just see my hinder parts." And I've heard some preachers say that this shows that the Lord, you know, you can't, you know, see the Lord, but that's not what that the Lord.
Well, here's
said,
what
said,
here's what it says in this particular chapter, Arthur. Then. Up in verse 11, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friends. That's what happened, and Joshua happened to be with him in these encounters. And then Moses says, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you." And I love that phrase. And his goodness is what we see on full display in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And then he says, but he said, "You cannot see my face, for no one can see me and live." So we see there's, you know, that God met with Moses face to face as someone would meet with a friend. And then he says, "But you can't see my face, for no one can see it and live." So we know that there was some form in which God met with Moses that was a little different than what he was talking about over here in verse 33, but as he said, he made his presence known. Well, how does he make his presence known to us today? And that's through the person and work of Jesus Christ. That's I think that's what's important for us to take away from this passage. God has made himself known to us in the person of Jesus Christ, and it's in him that we can see God's full glory on display.
That's not been my experience. Soon after I became a belief a believer and follower of Christ, within a matter of weeks, I had an experience in combat where, well, I wasn't in combat, actually. I was guarding a bunch of helicopters and making a circuit every 15 minutes. And on one circuit, I turned around, and I was careful not to look at the green line because it would destroy my night vision. But anyway, just as I was ready to turn around and start all over again, I heard a clear voice and felt it too. You know, just like it was everything in my body, the air in my lungs heard it, and I rejoiced in hearing it, but only said, turn around and look to the lights of the green line. Yeah, just 11 words. And so I did, and I saw a movement, and I thought, oh no, sappers. And I got ready to engage, but then when I got in the prone, I had a better angle. I could see, hey, this guy's got a baseball hat on and a mustache. I don't think Charlie's got wears mustaches. And it turned out to be the officer of the day who was going to take one of the machine guns out of the chopper, had me brought in and brought up for dereliction of duty. And anyway, I pulled the magazine out of my 16 and pretended like I charged it. I pivoted around, and the poor guy he couldn't speak for about 20 seconds. Finally got out. It's the OD. But I had a problem then, because all my ministers, different preachers, all said the same thing, that the Lord doesn't speak to people anymore. And I had a kind of a problem.
Well, Arthur, here's what I would say with that is, you know, like my son had kind of a unique experience. He said he saw an angel, and it was so clear to him. And it's like, well, yeah, those things can happen, but you don't build a life upon those experiences. I think you have to anchor those things to the person and work of Jesus Christ. I know there are many people that will share stories of experiences that seem supernatural and that probably were supernatural, and they've built their lives upon that, only to lead them to disappointment. The only way those things can really kind of have substance and is if we let those point us to the person and work of Jesus Christ. But it's because it's only in Him that we can really know and understand God. Well, Arthur, thanks for jumping on with us and sharing your story, sharing your testimony.
Yes, indeed.
That was quite interesting.
Yes. 1-800-677-9377. Time on the clock, plenty of it, plenty of open lines. We want to hear from you. 1-800-677-9377.
Let's go to Louisville, Kentucky, and talk with John, listening to us on WFIA. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Doing well. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. I appreciate listening to your show every afternoon on my drive home.
Well, we're glad you're doing that.
Yeah.
My question today was, I've had many people, you know, tell me different things on this. When we die and our loved ones, like our parents, grandparents, will we recognize these people in our next encounter with them? And if we do, will we recognize them as our mother or our father? And would that suggest that we would probably remember things about this life?
Well, I think we're going to see them in a different light, but I do think we're going to recognize them, and that we will have a relationship with them. We'll continue in a relationship. It will just be 1,000 times better than what we experienced here. Because all of the pain and sorrow and sin and all of that will be totally gone. But here's what I tell people when you know, they ask a question like you've asked today, John. I always point them to 1 Corinthians 15. And in those first 10 verses, Paul shares the gospel. And he says it's this, that simply Christ died according to Scriptures. He was buried and then was raised on the third day according to Scriptures. And then he goes on to say, and that he appeared, that Jesus appeared to Peter and then to the 12. And after that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then all of the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me. So Jesus, in his resurrected state, appeared to people, and they recognized him. He appeared to Mary on the day of his resurrection. Now, Mary was so distraught over looking at the empty tomb that she wasn't thinking that Jesus may be alive. She was wondering who had stolen the body. But when he finally said, Mary, he spoke her name, there was an instant recognition. And so Mary recognized Jesus. Peter and James and John and the 12 recognized Jesus. So did 500 others. So I think that sets the pattern that when we go to be with heaven, we're not only going to recognize Jesus, I think we'll recognize each other. Why? Because we're going to have a resurrected body just as Jesus had a resurrected body. And so I think we are going to know each other in heaven. I think we'll be able to recognize each other. And I think we will have a relationship one with another.
Well, do you believe, or is there anything that talks about us remembering things on this earth? Or, you know, I've had people tell me, well, perhaps, you know, you could remember, there'd be good memories that you would be, you know, allowed or given to remember, but some of the other things would be too painful for you to remember.
Well, I think what we're going to remember is the story of Christ. I mean, that's the great narrative that's being played out in the world today. We become a part of that narrative when we respond to the gospel. And so when we go to be with him, it's that narrative that's going to be front and center. Everything else is going to be burned away. And so that's all that's going to remain. So whatever part of that story of Christ that happened to us here, I think we're going to carry that with us into the heavenlies, and that's going to be a part of our story there. But only that part. God remembers our sins no more. Those aren't going to be on display. We're not going to remember those, just as God doesn't remember those. We're just going to see what Jesus Christ has accomplished in our lives. That's what we're going to see, and I think that alone.
All right. Well, thank you very much, and you take care.
Well, thank you, John. Thanks for your call, and
yes,
we're so glad you're tuned in. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you our special resource for the month, Resurrection Power for Daily Living. You hang on, okay?
Oh, thank you. Yes.
You are welcome.
Yeah. Bob, well, let's let our listeners know that we have a copy of it for you for a gift of any amount to the ministry. So all you need to do to obtain yours and make your gift is go to basicgospel.net, or you can dial 1-800-727-2828 and speak with our operator. Again, that number, 1-800-727-2828. The CD series by Bob Christopher, The Resurrection, Power for Daily Living. We hope you'll take advantage of the opportunity to get yours and support the ministry at the same time. Again, basicgospel.net or 1-800-727-2828.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's talk with Karen in New London, Connecticut, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Karen.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. And you have a wonderful show, by the way. I listen to you all the time.
Well, thank you so much. We're glad you're tuned in.
Yeah. I'll get to my question. It's twofold. With Easter coming up, I wonder why in the New Testament the word is Easter rather than Passover. Since Jesus was Jewish, sometimes I feel like Christians kind of forget, you know, where the belief comes from since Jesus was Jewish. And even pastors as wonderful as Charles Stanley, who is an incredibly wonderful pastor, sometimes will, like, speak to his listeners, and it's almost sometimes an assumption that it's like a Christian listener rather than a Jewish Christian. I consider myself a Jewish Christian or a Jewish believer. And things like, you know, is the responsibility of the Jewish believer different than a Christian believer? Should Jews be, for example, you know, doing all the things that, or some of the things kosher, the laws of kashrut, keeping Passover? I know there's many issues I'm bringing up, but getting back to the original phone call, Like, why does the New Testament insert the word Easter when it should be, my understanding, it should be Passover?
Well, the New Testament actually doesn't insert the word Easter at all. That is not a New Testament word. You're not going to find it in the Bible. It's resurrection. That's what we celebrate, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Easter was a word that was attached to that celebration much later. And there's lots of pagan, I think, roots to that. So I think we need to be careful as believers to really speak about what we're celebrating, and that's resurrection. And that's the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because that's where our hope is found. That's what anchors us in this day-to-day life. And that resurrection, when Jesus was raised from the dead, that all took place around that Passover feast. He became the Passover lamb. All that the Passover was speaking about found its ultimate fulfillment in Christ. When we're in Christ, death passes over us, doesn't it? We even though these bodies are going to die, we will never die because we're in Christ. We are protected by His shed blood. We are protected by what He accomplished through His death on the cross. And then we can say even more, how much more, having been reconciled with Christ, shall we be saved by His resurrected life. That's what this good news gospel is all about. And that event, Richard likes to call it a single event, but that single event is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. And when that took place was around that Passover feast.
Okay, so then when Paul and the other disciples are deciding, and I might not have all the, you know, the facts correct, obviously, but when they're deciding how to spread the word and to gather Gentiles in, you know, like into the branch or the twig or whatever the term is.
Yes.
And he wants to do outreach. He says that they don't have to. I think he says they don't have to do certain things. But then, does that go away for Jewish believers? Because I don't notice that the text says that it does. You know, because Jesus says, "Don't break any tittle of the law," or whatever. And I know that the main idea is, you know, love thy neighbor and all that good stuff.
Well, I think, Karen, here's what I would say to you about those things. The Christian message is rooted in Judaism. Jesus came through the bloodline of the Jewish people, and He was a blessing to the entire world. So both Jew and Gentile can be saved in Him. You have a background, you have a heritage, you have an ancestry, and it's precious to you. But now in Christ, you have invested new meaning to all of those things. Jesus is your Passover lamb. And if you celebrate the Passover, I think you can do so with new hope, a new energy, with a new purpose and reality, knowing that Jesus was the one that shed His blood for you. It's not the blood of a lamb. It's not the blood of a bull or a goat. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that purchased you, that redeemed you, that sets you free in Him. Well, Karen, we're about out of time. Let me put you on hold, okay? Thanks for your call.
Yeah, and thanks to everybody who called to be a part of this one and who tuned in to be edified by what you've heard. We have a fabulous Bible conference coming up. It's called Stand 2014, Finding Solid Footing in a Broken World. And it features John Lynch, Andrew Farley, whom you hear on this broadcast every week, and of course our very own Bob Christopher. Be sure to visit our website for information on Stand 2014 coming up June 19th through the 21st right here in the Dallas area. All of the information is available at stand2014.com. That's stand2014.com. Also remember Bob Christopher's CD series, The Resurrection Power for Daily Living, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. You'll find a prominent link at the homepage at basicgospel.net, or you can call and speak with our operator to make your gift and request your copy at 1-800-727-2828. Now for Bob and Richard and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.